We're going to start out by watching a short little video, and I hope that you enjoy it, and hopefully the sound will work, and then I will open God's Word a little bit. Oh, I'm skipping to the beginning. And the sound is not working. I would expect nothing less. Still not working. Well, I guess that's working. So that's positive. This is what happens when you're late and you don't get to test things ahead of time. Okay, well, the sound's not going to work, so we will snag that, I suppose. I could do that. I could. You know what, actually? Actually, you know what? Maybe it's God. You can watch this with just the video. So let me pull these lights down. I'll give you the premise since you can't hear a little bit. There in this video, you see several children, and they are told that they can have one marshmallow now, or they can sit in the chair and wait and get one marshmallow at the end. And it's a little bit more entertaining with sound, but it's all right. We will watch the kids and enjoy their reactions. This clip is just not staying on today. So she's telling him that he can either eat this one now or he can wait, and when she comes back, she'll give him two. And that's what she tells all of the kids. there's a couple more. I think that's it. Yeah. All right. So, like I said, a little more entertaining with the music with it, but still you get the idea. Those kids, can you pull those lights back up for me? The two middle ones are the ones I turned down. You get the idea of these kids, and they had something that they wanted, but they were given incentive to wait on it, to not to take part in it, and that there would be something better at the end if they were to resist the temptation that was right in front of them. And that is a good entrance into what I want to talk tonight about, and what I want to talk about over the next several times I get to talk to you, and that's temptation. And I had what I wanted to talk about tonight, and then before I knew it, it was 2 hours worth of material. And so this is hopefully the intro into that, and we're going to eventually get to Matthew chapter 4, and I'm really looking forward to that. But we're going to start out with a little bit of an introduction here. And you saw those kids, and I thought it was very interesting that some of them saw, how close can I get without actually giving in? Can I get just a little bit and nobody's going to notice? You know, maybe even if I eat all the way around it, but there's still the core there, then that'll count. I didn't take all of it, I only took some of it. I only took most of it, or whatever it may be. These are all rationales that go through our minds when we're faced with temptation. You know, when we are made a new creature in Christ, we are given power over sin, and we're given power over temptation. And so who I'm talking to today and tonight are those people who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. As we look into this, look over the next few verses, the power that God has given us over sin. If you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, then you don't have that power. You don't have the Holy Spirit behind you helping you, and the Bible says that you're a slave to sin. And you can't escape it. No matter what you do on your own, you're going to give in to that marshmallow or whatever sitting in front of you because you don't have the Holy Spirit helping you. So I would say, if you want victory over sin, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess and believe on Him, and then He will give His Spirit to you, and you'll have that ability and that power. And even though we're saved and we're given victory over sin, we still have temptation. Satan still holds things in front of us and tries to get us to fall back into our old ways. But it's not just Satan. I have two things where temptation comes from that I want to talk about. And the first one is our heart. Our heart. What we have inside of us in Matthew 15, 18 through 19 says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies." We don't need any help. A lot of times we don't even need Satan to tempt us because we're doing it ourselves. We have a desire to sin. We have these things inside of us, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies that happen from inside of our own selves. Our heart is desperately wicked, it says in Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We're born with a sin nature. We're born with a want to sin because Adam and Eve took that fruit and it's passed down through the bloodline to us. But we have one that wasn't in that bloodline, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how thankful we are for that. And so we have what's in our heart, we have ourselves, and then also we have Satan. We have Satan and his demons, and a lot of times I think that we underestimate them in our power. I know that I do. A lot of times we don't like to think about things that we don't like, and we minimize the issue. Whether that's in our own lives, whether it's our country or in our world, we don't think about the terrorism. We don't think about the persecuted church because we don't want to think about what effect that really has on us. But Satan is very, very real. And I want to read a few verses that describe a little bit about him. In Genesis 3:1, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made." He was cunning. In John 8:44, it says, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks it from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." And in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him." In the start of the next verse. And as I looked at these verses. The one about the lion really sunk into me. You can ask Maddie. I've recently really had a thing for tigers, and I really like tigers. And up until just a few years ago, I could have had one in North Carolina. And actually, North Carolina still doesn't have laws against it, but Guilford County does, and Randolph, and Forsyth, and I can't buy an acre anywhere and have it. But unless I do it for research purposes or educational purposes. So there's still loopholes. But tigers are really, really cool. I don't know if you've ever, when we went to the North Carolina Zoo, we saw the lions and they were a little bit further off. But I went to the Greensboro Science Center and there's a glass wall and the tiger's like right there. And you can see how big they are. I mean, their paws are massive. These things are as big as I am. And they walk around with such ease and jump heights silently. And the majesty of those creatures is overwhelming. To see something that close to you, that has that much power, that could destroy you, that could come up on you without you even knowing it was there. It's incredible the amount of power and stealth that is in that creature. And the lion the same. And to think about the fact that that is the devil and he's coming up on us. And he's sneaking up on us. And he has so much power beyond ours. There's no way we can stop him. There's no way, barring a David Livingston situation where God intervened and he was saved from the tiger, from the lion, barring God's intervention, when we come face to face with that, we're going to fall. We're going to be destroyed. We're going to be eaten alive or devoured. And so we have our hearts and we have Satan. And I'm already out of time. But that's okay. I'm going to keep going. Not I got a couple minutes. I'm going to go quickly. We have Satan, and he is so strong and so powerful and so incredibly smart. So smart. I'm going to read a section here by Arthur Leonard Griffith. It says, "Satan tempts us at the point of our physical needs, not that we might gratify them to excess, but that we might think of nothing else and satisfy them at the expense of our usefulness in this world. Satan tempts us at the point of our ambitions, not that we might engage in positive evil, but that we might simply accept the fact of evil, learn to live with it, come to terms with it, and maintain a quiet reverence in the presence of it. Satan tempts us at the point of our religion, not that we might disbelieve in God, but that we might demand certainty, that type of certainty that leaves nothing to faith, nothing to God Himself. These are the moral struggles that have reality for people such as we are. The subtle temptation to renounce our duty in favor of what is attractive. That insidious allurement to a kind of half-goodness which is the essence of every bad thing and which is more productive of suffering and hatred, war and misery in this world than all the designs of wicked and greedy people combined." Satan is sneaky. Satan is powerful. And he doesn't come and tell us to eat the whole marshmallow. He says, just taste it a little bit. Just see how close you can get without actually eating it. Maybe you can sniff it. Maybe you can kiss it. Maybe you can get right next to it. Maybe you can even put it in your mouth and then take it back out and you still didn't actually eat it. He wants to lure us into that, and he does it very, very sneakily. Very smart. Beyond us. Very much beyond us. But God has granted us victory. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 58, it says, "So when this corruptible is put on incorruptible and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Romans 6 and verse 14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." Romans 16:20 says, "And the peace of God will crush Satan under your feet shortly." James 4:7 says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." And 1 Corinthians 10:12-13 says this, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overcome you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." So we see that we have these sins, these temptations. We have them that come from in ourselves, and we have them that come from Satan. And we have a desire to serve God. Hopefully, we have that desire. If He's in us, then we have that desire to be like Him and to serve Him. But we constantly have those things. But we have this, we know that it's going to come. And even though we're a new creature, that the temptation is going to be there. But in 1 Corinthians 10, it says He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, we'll also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. We're able to bear those temptations. But I'm here to tell you that you may not be ready to bear the temptations that are going to come on you right now. Because you may not be using everything that He has given you to be able to withstand them. God has given you certain things, many things, to use in your fight against temptation. He's given you things that you can use to be able to bear that. But if we try to go at it ourselves and not take our arsenal with us and not use all of those things, then we're going to invariably fall. We're going to fall to that temptation. And so, the first one that I'm going to mention, and we'll keep going next time that I'm here, but I want to read a story real quick, and we'll close with a couple of verses. This is a conversation between a father and a son. Son, don't swim in that canal. Okay, Dad. But he came home wearing a wet bathing suit that evening. Where have you been? Swimming in the canal, answered the boy. Didn't I tell you not to swim there? Yes, sir. Well, why did you? Well, Dad, I had my bathing suit with me, and I couldn't resist the temptation. Well, why did you take your bathing suit with you? So I'd be prepared to swim in case I was tempted. A lot of times we make preparations for sin. We put ourselves purposefully in situations where we'll fall because we think it'll be exciting, because we're enticed. When the marshmallow is placed before us, instead of sitting it at the other side of the table and focusing on something else, we pull it closer to us. And we put it right in front of us. And we put us so close to failure that we are going to fall. And we need to not give place to the devil, as Ephesians 4:27. In Romans 13, it says, therefore, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness, and do not sin. In Proverbs 1, it says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. And in verse 15, my son, do not walk in the path of them. Keep your foot from their path. And again, in Proverbs 5, remove your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. In Matthew 5:29, it says if your right eye calls you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. There's this idea of preparation before the temptation. We're not to go there. We're to stay away from there. We're to stay as far away from there as we can. And in preparation, we don't give a place to the devil. When we know that where we're tempted is this place and this time and this situation, change it. If we need to cast off something, if we need to cast off our car or our computer or you name it, I don't know what you might need to cast off that causes you to tempt or that puts you in a situation where you're going to give in. In preparation for this, we're to stay away from that. In preparation for temptation, we need to not give a place to the devil and to do everything that we can to keep ourselves out of situations that we can fall, to get that marshmallow as far away from us as we possibly can so that we're not going to give in to it. And so we make those preparations. And we make those preparations so that we aren't in those situations. But you know what? Sometimes those situations arise anyway. Sometimes, no matter how much we've done, how much we're doing right, we're put in a situation where temptation is almost overwhelming. And we don't know what to do, and the temptation is strong. And that's what we're going to talk about, what to do in those situations next time. So, tonight, I want you to think about what you can do in preparation for temptation. How can you get that marshmallow as far away from you and not give place to the devil? And let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You so much for this day that You've given us, and I thank You for this time looking at Your Word. And Lord, I pray that You would help each of us in this room to make preparation for temptation, not to be naive and think that it's not coming or to think that we can overcome it on ourselves. But Lord, we know that it is beyond us and that we need You. And I pray that we would look to You and that we would make hard decisions to prepare ourselves. Lord, I pray as we go next month and the next part of this that we would be able to see how we can resist the devil and what we should do to prepare for when it does come. In your son's name, amen.